Right, well, you can be seated. So there's a couple that is not getting along, and they go see a counselor, and they cannot agree on anything. And so the counselor has an idea, and the counselor holds up a list of six words and tells the man, she says, okay, you read these words out loud. And so the man looks at the list, and he says, woman, without her man, is nothing. And then the counselor looks at the woman and says, now I want you to read the same list. And the woman says, woman, without her, man is nothing. So today's message, y'all, is called Guys and Dolls. We've been working our way through 1 Peter, and today we hit chapter 3, and where we'll be discussing the roles of men and women and God's design. So our three points today are going to be misconception, dolls, and guys. All right, so again, our title is Guys and Dolls. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll actually be skipping around a lot in Scripture, but the main text comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. And our three points today are going to be misconception, dolls, and guys. So let's pray together. Let's see what God has for us. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. And I thank you, God, that your design is best, Lord. And your thoughts and your ways are high above ours. And God, I pray that we would all hear from you. Lord, you would teach us about our roles. And Lord, that we would submit to you as our authority, God. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so our first point today is misconception. And there's a common misconception regarding the Bible and regarding God's view of women. And it'll go something like this, either that somehow God looks down on women or that he doesn't care about women as much as he does about men, or that somehow women are lesser persons. And so I wanted to camp out there for a while on our first point in case you ever think that way. Or certainly you're going to have friends and family that have thoughts that go along those lines. And so we're going to take a quick run through the Bible and we're going to look at five examples and see if we can't dispel these false rumors. So we're going to begin with Eve right there, first book of the Bible in Genesis. And right off the bat, y'all, you've heard this at weddings about Eve, that she was taken from Adam's rib, from his side, not from his head to rule over him, and not from his feet to be trodden down by him, but from his side. And there's obvious symbolism there. But secondly, although she was the first to eat the forbidden fruit, the blame was placed on the man. So I want us to look at these scriptures here. So we start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, so that when the woman saw that the tree was good, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband. So right off the bat, y'all, clearly she ate the fruit first. But the first sin is attributed to the man. And we see that up there, Romans 5, verse 12. And I'll put them side by side so you could see them. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And the verse goes on. But it's mind-boggling, y'all. Eve ate first, but God laid the sin to Adam's charge. And so, just a thought for you to begin today. If God was against women, right here would have been the easiest place to lay the blame on women. That's not what God did. So that's our first example. Our second one, we're going to fast forward to a lady named Tamar. And most of you might be familiar with the story, but in case you're not, she was the daughter-in-law of a guy named Judah. And we're not going to go into all the details, but here's what happens in the story. She seduced her father-in-law. She dressed up like a harlot. She tricked him into sleeping with her. And when the affair came to light, Judah was confronted in front of witnesses. And here is his response in Genesis 38, beginning at verse 26. It says, then Judah said, she is more righteous than I. Did you catch that? He says, she is more righteous than I. After all that Tamar had done, and again, briefly, just to run through it. I mean, she dressed up like a hooker. She seduced him, right? This affair takes place. And when it comes to light, he confesses that she was more righteous than he was. Again, the responsibility fell on the man. Third example, in the book of Judges, at a time when Israel was being led by judges, God chose a woman to be a judge at one point. It says in Judges chapter 4, verse 4, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Now just picture that. God looked through the entire land, and the person who was best suited for the job in those days was a woman named Deborah. Okay, again, we fast forward, and now we're going to be talking about a lady named Rahab. So this is when Israel was about to attack the city of Jericho. And it was a woman, y'all. It was a woman who displayed faith. She was the only inhabitant in the town that feared God. And in this part of the story, she speaks to Joshua's two spies. And so we pick up in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, and it says, before the men lay down, she came up to them, verse 9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Verse 11, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. It's her faith, Rahab's faith, y'all, a harlot, Rahab's faith that saved the lives of her loved ones. In our fifth example, we fast forward to the story of Esther. And in fact, the entire book of Esther, it's only 10 chapters long, but the entire book of Esther has to do with a woman that God used to save the entire nation of Israel from destruction. And so we're just going to read part of it. And this is Esther 5, verse 2. And she appears before the king, says, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. Verse 3, and the king said to her, what is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you even to the half of my kingdom. And as you continue reading the story, you see that God used an unlikely person, this woman, who had faith and character to save the entire nation of Israel. Now, when I was preparing for this sermon, y'all, I had bunches of examples. And so if you if you're taking notes or if you want, if you look in your bulletin, right in the middle is the outline for today. And the rest of that section one is just a bunch more examples that I want to encourage you to go back and read it sometime and just look at times, y'all. In fact, just you can watch these slides right here. We're not going to go in through all these, but the New Testament agrees to it. There's ladies that God points out that had faith and character and loved God, and they were important enough where God had the stories recorded and their names recorded in Scripture. And again, like I said, I have a longer list, and we just don't have time to go through it. But to summarize the first point, here's the idea. God does not look down on the ladies. Okay, the rumor is completely unfounded. In fact, there's many times when there would be a woman who was the best choice for a specific job that God had for his purposes. Okay, so hopefully this will help you in your own faith. But also, if you have conversations where people have this attitude or this thought that somehow God looks down on women, it's just not true. It's completely unfounded. All right. So before we move on, we're just going to do a little experiment here. And this is going to be a little true and false. And the only people that will see are the people right next to you. OK, but you're going to hold your thumb up or down. And we're just going to go through some commonly held beliefs. And you're just going to decide, okay, I agree or disagree, or I believe it or I don't believe it, okay, true or false. But you have to vote, okay, you have to participate. So we want 100% class participation, all right? First one is this. Coffee originates from beans, okay? Thumbs up or down, do you believe it or disbelieve it? The answer is, what we commonly call coffee beans actually come from coffee flowers, which come from coffee seeds. So it's false. Okay, second one. A toilet's flush will change direction depending on which hemisphere it's in, meaning north or south hemisphere of the earth. All right, thumbs up or down? All right, the answer is false. The rotation is caused by the direction in which the jets point. Okay, and I don't know any more about it than that. All right. Okay, number three. The Great Wall of China can be seen from outer space. All right, thumbs up or down? Okay, 100% participation. The answer is false. The Apollo astronauts confirmed that you can't see the Great Wall of China from the moon. In fact, outer space, the world just looks like a big blue marble. Okay. Last one. Giving children sugar makes them hyper. True or false? Okay, thumbs up or down? You know what? The answer I read was false. Well, let me read this, all right? It says here, many professors claim that the majority of scientific research has concluded that sugar does not cause hyperactivity in youngsters. But I'm going to tell you this, I bet they don't have any children, right? Now, Avery and I, we can prove this, y'all. We've done this scientifically on just bunches and bunches of youth trips, is when the bus stops and the kids get snacks, man, the bus goes nuts, okay? And they are not snacking on vegetables, all right? So, all right, our second point today, y'all, is dolls. And we're actually going to get into now about God's design for the role of women. So first, and this applies to guys and ladies, there's a governing principle about God's ways. And so I want us to read that first, y'all. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So here's a thought from Miguel, okay? Until you're willing, and this is for all of us, until you're willing to admit that God's ways are better than yours, in fact, far better, you're going to constantly be hindered in your walk with God. So God doesn't just say his thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. He says as high as the heavens are above the earth. So don't just think clouds. Think stars. Think light years. That's how much higher his ways are. So let's get into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And we start out with one word, likewise. So the reason that word is there is it refers to the previous verses. Now, Marcus was going to cover this last week, but we ended up having a guest speaker. So I just wanted to touch on some of the verses that we would have looked at last week. So we're going back to actually to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 13. And it says this, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors. Verse 15, for this is the will of God. It's an obvious idea about being subject to the government. And you have to remember at the time this was being written, y'all, that the government, right, those emperors were cruel to believers. Okay. The very next verse, verse 17, says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. And then in verse 21, after God has been talking about this idea of subjecting ourselves to authority, then he supplies a reason. In verse 21, he says, for to this you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Verse 23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Y'all, when God calls any of us to be in subjection to any authority, he reminds us that Christ suffered for us. He was our example of humility. and trusting, right, the Father's authority. It mentions that it's the Father. Christ trusted the Father. And it's the Father who eventually will judge all things and set all things right. But in the meantime, we trust Him. Anytime any of us submits to any authority, y'all, we actually reflect the attitude of Christ. So, with that in mind, that brings us to chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Okay, so there's the phrase, be subject to your own husbands. I can tell you how it looks in our house, or at least what we shoot for, y'all, is that, yeah, I have the final say, but believe me, it's something I take seriously, that ultimately I'm under the authority of God for how I run our marriage and how I run our home. And that there will be a day I've got to answer for that, y'all. In the meantime, Connie has a voice. And I don't mean just her laugh that you hear around here, you know. But what I mean by her having a voice is I know that she has a heart for God. And I want to hear what she has to say. Because there's definitely times when God is revealing something to her that I haven't seen yet. Or that she may impart some wisdom that I don't have. And so that's what our home looks like. That's what we shoot for. And you know, I'm going to say this too, just as far as how the church runs, y'all. That's what I see in Marcus and our elder board is we have guys that are under that authority of God. And they take that role seriously. And it's good guys. And y'all know them. We got Anthony. We got George, Randy, Jason. You know, we've got godly guys. But they're just regular guys, right? And they're seeking God. And they're seeking that leading of God. Because they know they'll have to answer for that as well one day. A few years ago, it was Marcus that came to me. And told me that the elder board was looking at changing my job description and that I was going to be dropping the youth ministry and switching over to discipleship, and that we were going to be hiring probably some guy just straight out of seminary to run the youth. And instantly, y'all, I had about 1,000 reasons why I thought that was a bad idea. And so, you know, I voiced it. It wasn't an argument. I just voiced, you know, my opinion. And I told him, though, I said, I'm willing to pray about this. And over those first few days, you know what happened was my list got longer. You know, all the reasons why I just thought it was just a bad idea. And then something really surprising happened. I did not expect this at all. Is that one day as I was praying about it, God put this thought on my heart. What if our elder board sees something that I haven't seen yet? What if God has given them a bigger picture for the church and for the future of the church that I haven't seen? And at that point, I really felt like God was leading me to take my list and to just get rid of my list and to hold my peace and just to trust in how He was leading those men overseeing the church. And it was about a week later that Marcus revealed the next part of the plan that we didn't know for certain. But that's when I found out that Avery was the guy we had on the hook. And in case you're visiting here, Avery had been our summer staff person. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my gosh, this could be an awesome thing. And so fast forward, you know, it worked out that way. And I want to say this. When we submit to God's authority, y'all, it doesn't always work out the way we want. Right? It's not always a happy ending in our eyes. But the question is, can we trust God? Can we trust Him? And can we trust His design? Because if we can't say yes to that, again, we're going to be hindered in our walk with God. All of us are subject to authority at some point. It's God's design. We got to ask ourselves, can we trust him? The other part in the passage, it mentions this, that sometimes men come to faith actually through the testimony of their wives. You can't argue with a heart for God. And so I've heard countless stories over the years of ladies who had unbelieving husbands, and it was their faith and their prayer that somehow made an impact in that man's life. So I want to read the same verse again, but this time with a different emphasis. So did it change? Yeah. Okay. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. The number one thing that men want is respect. It's the way we're wired, y'all. Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And closely related to that is conversation, y'all. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So, ladies, this thought, there's a huge impact that will happen in your home related to the words you say and the words you don't say. And that's as you pray and God leads you. All right, we're going to go on. Chapter 3:3, 1 Peter. Do not let your adorning be external. Again, it's talking to the ladies. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Some confusion on these verses, so let me just try to clarify it this way. This is not a complete ban on outward adornment, okay? And just three quick examples, y'all. Rebecca, when she was found to be the wife of Isaac, she was given jewelry as a promise that, that Isaac would take her as his wife. Ruth was adorned by Boaz. Esther was perfumed and attired for the king. So all these three ladies, y'all, they loved God. And so they had that outward adornment. But the emphasis is on the inward adornment, on the heart and spirit. Again, we see that in that verse. Hidden person of the heart, imperishable beauty. Okay. Proverbs 19:14 says this. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 31:30 says this. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Again, the emphasis on the inward, y'all, on the heart. Okay. On the outward, y'all, beauty is only skin deep. One of my favorite verses says this, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Okay, so especially you young ladies, I want to try to help you picture this. So I've been working on this all week. And and notice the calligraphy. I do have an artistic touch, okay? So, hey guys, don't laugh too hard. I got one for you later, okay? All right. But here's the thought, y'all. God emphasizes the inward, right? The spirit and the heart. And that's where beauty really counts. Okay, I mentioned our house earlier. We do not always get this right. And so one thing I've seen over the years, and Connie has seen this too, is, man, we just don't do well when there's emergencies, you know, especially if it's had to do with our kids, all right? So this story comes from when my son Ian was about 3 or 4 years old, and he busted his lip, all right? So here we are in the bathroom. I'm trying to, you know, get him calmed down so I can wash his lip. And Connie's over my shoulder. And, man, it's like, you know, the tension's building. Finally, I said, Connie, leave the room. Boy, if you don't know this, Connie grew up with 9 brothers, right? And so she says, I submit. but I don't like it. And the door slams, you know. So here I am with Ian, and I'm, you know, washing off his lip and getting him calm, calming him down. And then the door busts open, and it's Connie saying, I don't have to submit to that. And I'm like, get out of here. And Ian, wah, you know, which I'm sure that ended up on his trauma chart, you know. But look, y'all, we don't always get it right, okay? But we're shooting for it. You know, we're shooting for God's design. Okay, so our third point today. Whoa, how'd that happen? There we go. All right, our third point today is guys, right? God's design for the role of man. So, men, I told you your turn was coming. This is how you do not want to be. Proverbs 26, verse 12 says this. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So, fellas, when we think we know better than God, right? And, you know, my way or the highway, that kind of attitude. God says we're being foolish. Okay, and the preceding verse says this. It says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Right. So that's the idea, y'all, for us men, is that, man, when we think, hey, our way's better, you know, and my way or the highway, that kind of thing. All right. And so, fellas, again, I got a picture for you to help you remember this. So, you know. Hey, when we're not listening to God, y'all, we are looking like fools. Hey, word of God, okay? So, let's go on, y'all. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says this. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So verse 7, it says live with, okay, no unnecessary separation, y'all. And I think the thought, too, is that your stuff is mutual, okay? It's not his and hers, but it's ours. Years ago, Connie and I were in a young couples group. Back when we were a young couple, okay? And we were going through a book, and as I remember it, the name of it was Strike the Original Match. And there were some concepts in there that I'd never really thought about. But one of them was this, that a house or a home for a guy, it serves a purpose, right? You know, you got a roof, place to live. But a home for a lady is an extension of her, right? So that's why, like, say, unfinished projects, those kind of things. I'm guilty. Okay. Leaving home. She's sitting right here. Okay. So anyway, leaving home, you know, when there's dishes still in the sink. Okay. To a guy, it's like, hey, man, out of sight, out of mind. Right. But to the ladies, it's like there's something that feels incomplete. It's the way God wired them, y'all. Same thing with decorations. Okay, that's why decorations are so important. You know, it's like they picture. I mean, if it was me, I'd paint our house orange. You know, it's like, who cares? You know, but really, the home becomes an extension of her. So just to have that in mind, this whole idea about in an understanding way, as a godly man. When I think about godly men, I think about requirements for elders. And so this is just one of the places where it's listed. But here in Titus chapter 1, verse 7. And here's the idea, y'all. I don't have to be an elder. And every man in this room is not going to become an elder. But you know what? We should all desire it. We should all desire to be those kind of guys. So here it says, for an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, or a drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Yeah. In general, we want to reflect the character of Christ. A man that reflects God in his own home, and let me say this, especially in his own home, that's the most difficult place to live it, right? But it's also the most important. It's where it matters the most. And there's another phrase we just saw in 1 Peter about showing honor. I don't even remember the first time that I opened a door for a lady. I don't even remember that. Like, that's something that it's just so long ago, you know, that my mom taught me, you know. But that whole idea about honoring, but even beyond that, y'all, giving due respect, elevating her role, protecting her person, being a good listener. I mean, all those things are important, y'all. So that's the thing we ask God, right? Help us grow in those areas. What that does, it produces trust and confidence. When those big decisions come, remembering that she hears from God too. Remembering that. I think about how Christ led. If you think about his example, right? He didn't bark out orders. You didn't see him doing that. He led by compassion, and he certainly led by sacrifice. And what that inspired in those that were behind him, it inspired them to trust him. They could respect him. And in fact, they wanted to follow a leader like that. And I believe that's what God is calling us to. 1 Peter 3, again, verse 7, and we'll look at it with different emphasis. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And there's that idea, that phrase, as the weaker vessel. It just means they're physically smaller, y'all. You want to have an obvious example? When you see these men these days who jump into women's sports, okay? I know you've all seen that in the news. Ladies are physically smaller, and they should be defended, right? Society has that upside down these days. There's a phrase there that says, they're heirs with you. In one respect, that women and men are equal. It's that those of us who are believers, y'all, we're all heirs. We're going to be co-heirs to the kingdom of God. That's an awesome thought. It mentions this phrase too. It says that your prayers may not be hindered. Man, just from a military perspective, when you think about the weapon of prayer and how, two people seeking God together, one mind, one spirit, praying together, are potentially powerful for the kingdom of God and can do damage to the enemy. There's only two institutions that God set up on this planet, y'all. One is marriage, and one is the local church. And both of them have been under attack for a long, long time. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, fellas, we're called to be the point man. There was a time when in society, it was just common, that you would hear the phrase women and children first. Right. As far as getting them to safety, you know, just in general, men thought that way. You get the women and children to safety. And it was men who were called to lay down our lives for the ladies and for the kids. This next part, this is just Miguel's observation. OK, I can't say it's scripture, but it's just observation that I've seen. And it's this: when men don't lead in the things of God, women lead by default, and then those men go off and they lead in ungodly things. It's not a political problem, y'all. It's chiefly a spiritual problem in our country. So that brings us to our application. First thought is this: understand and believe that God is not against women. And like I said, I mentioned this in your bulletin, so I want to call attention to it again. That first section, I put in a bunch of examples, y'all, to make sure it's clear in your mind. But also, when people you know bring that up, it's a common misconception, to be able to help clear that up for them. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is this: ladies, trust God with your role. Okay? Respect your man. Respect the elders and pastors. And men, trust God with your role. Sacrifice for the ladies. And lead in the things of God. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, in all things, you are faithful. And you know so much better than us, Lord. I pray, dear God, you would direct us individually. And you would direct us as a congregation to reflect Christ in everything we do. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
So if you would, could you stand with me and let's worship God.